Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Pirates won today. They sweep the Brewers. They go from 7 back to 3 back in 4 games. They won today 4-2 behind Jameson Taillon. 3 back and now back to 500, but they go to Colorado next, and that's not going to be easy. Arizona beat Cincinnati 12-2. Mets beat St. Louis 3-2. Bottom of the sixth, it is Toronto over the Red Sox 7-3. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. I just mentioned Colorado. Nolan Arenado, what a great player he is. Another big hit.
Kevin Quackenbush with a pitch to Arenado, and he hits this one down the left field line. It's got a chance. It is gone! Make it 3 home runs for Arenado today in a 5-hit game. That's a 3-run bomb.
Nolan Arenado, that's on KOA, the Colorado Rockies Radio Network, and they've got the Pirates next at Coors Field. That's why they played the game at noon today at 12:10. It was getaway day for the Bucks. All right, let's bring in Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. You know, over the years, Sean, this has always been the suit's least favorite segment.
And one of my favorites. Love this.
Because it takes away for the suit the aura that sports is fun and not a business.
That hurt, yeah. It sucks the fun out of my day. I've heard that a few times.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as if you have, like, certain things, quote, written into your contract as it's your business. Much to the detriment of the rest of us.
Written contract. What?
What does that mean? Tony, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show today.
All is well. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Appreciate it very much. The NFL last year, when it was all said and done, was able to bounce back somewhat after Election Day and ended up with an 8% loss in viewership. Mm-hmm. When you talk to your partners and the sense that you get, give me the importance of this particular year and maybe the year after as to what the NFL can mean going forward.
I think it's musical chairs on the industry side, just because that's a convenient excuse, and I think they've sold it enough that there are optimistic people who believe it, but if they don't start hot this year, they don't have anything to point to, right? So I think there's going to be a big concern when it comes to how those numbers are going to hold up, when it comes to sponsors and then, you know, eventual renewals down the road. They know how important it is. You know, you knew there was going to be a tail off at some point. They're going to continue to point to the fact that, you know, at this point through the year, the top 10 sporting events in viewership have all been NFL.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, if that's starting to erode, well, now we're starting to see other competition for that, for those dollars.
And I've also noticed the schedule. They know it. In other words, what teams were critical when they could flex games at the end of the year to help them recoup some of the ratings? The Cowboys ended up being flexed left and right. If you look at the first 8 weeks of this schedule, is it pretty obvious, Tony, that they know it too?
They know exactly what's happening. Now, here's their problem, right? It's really easy to say, you know, we had a down year because our flagship teams were maybe down, right? But right now for the NFL, the flagship teams are booming.
Yes.
Right? The Patriots are, you know, not, I mean, whether you love them or hate them, they're must-watch TV. The Cowboys are good. The Packers are good. The Steelers are pretty good. You know, it's getting to a situation where you have all these flagship teams that are up. I mean, there's a few flagship teams, the Eagles, the Bears, that are a little bit down right now, but they can't point to it and say, hey, you know what, we're not too worried about it because, you know, Carolina and Tampa are dominating. That's not the case. Right? Denver's good. You know, it's all the teams that have traditionally been good and had national interest are good right now. They need to put up a big number, and you're 100% right in saying that everybody who saw the schedule saw right away that, They need a bounce back year, and they know it. They're putting their eggs in those baskets up front. And see, the reality there, too, is also that helps protect a little bit in case one of those teams isn't good, right?
Right.
Let's get what we can out of them earlier in the season.
Right. In other words, you can flex them out later in the year if they're not doing well. Right. That's a good point. There's also another trend that's happening in sports, not so much in soccer. MLS, I mean, you go to an MLS matchup, and what happens right away? Everybody in that arena is really for their team. But in the NFL and a lot now in Major League Baseball, you're finding that home team fans are selling tickets to visiting team entities. Talk about that trend for a minute, Tony, and whether teams should be disturbed by that or not, just based on dollars.
So here, this is a real hot topic right now, especially in some markets. The Denver Broncos just pulled out or just pulled back season tickets from a number of people who had sold all of their tickets over the last year, the people who didn't attend a single game and sold every single game. And now you have a lot of people going out telling their woe is me story about, hey, I didn't realize you were going to take my tickets away if I sold them at a massive profit all year long. Well, as you stated correctly, the teams are coming back and saying, look, you know, we don't want Broncos and Steelers to be a Steelers home game. Right? We don't want Dodgers and Cubs to be a Cubs home game, and that's happening.
Right.
And so teams are in a unique position, because if you're the Denver Broncos and you have a 75,000 person waiting list, or if you're, you know, the Green Bay Packers and you have a 43,000 person waiting list, it's not difficult for you to, A, take them away and sell them to somebody else, even though in the NFL, you know, ticketing revenue isn't nearly as important as sponsorship and TV revenue. But B, you also can use the example of, or use the excuse of, look, you know, we're trying to create an environment where this is all Broncos fans. We've got enough Broncos fans that want to go to the game. We're going to incentivize this. If you're a team that struggles at the gate, it's more difficult to do that, right? If you're the Bengals or the Browns, it's more difficult to do that, or the Bucks, because you need to get people in the seats. And, you know, what's your choice? Do you want to have an empty stadium, a half empty stadium, or do you want to have, you know, a louder crowd roar when the Bears score at a Jags game in Jacksonville? So it's really difficult. You know, the solution is, the easy solution for the teams when it comes to how to address these woe is me stories is to come back to those people and say, we'll renew you, but on a transfer list ticket only. So we'll give you your tickets, but they're only coming on your phone, and you're not going to be able to transfer them. And when you do that, you're going to clear out the people who are profiteering.
I mean, the last time I went to a Red Sox-Orioles game at Camden Yards, 60% of the ballpark was for Boston.
Oh, sure. Yeah. In baseball, it's more prevalent than anywhere, right? Now, in football, people have figured it out, right? If you live in a place where you're just not going to get tickets for the home team, you know, they will travel to a relatively close team. And they've always had this problem in Florida, because Florida is kind of a transient place.
Right.
A lot of people move there to retire, and so they go and they watch their team that they grew up rooting for. But in baseball, it's an issue, and baseball doesn't know how to back it out, because they have this deal with StubHub that covers 30 teams now. The Red Sox gave up and went back to StubHub.
Right.
And so they don't really have control over who you're selling your ticket to if you go out and sell it. And they're promoting that you sell your ticket.
Right, exactly. That's part of it. You're promoting. And, you know, and again, this is your wheelhouse. I mean, a lot of this is your wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, you understand this better than anybody. I want to get into very quickly what ESPN is doing, or excuse me, Disney, my apologies, what Disney is doing, because Miriam Gottfried wrote in the Wall Street Journal that they're now in negotiations with a cable company, a cable provider, Altice USA, and their contract expires in the fall. And what ESPN wants to do to offset cord cutting financially is to boost ESPN from 5% a year increase to 6%, and they say over the next 6 years that'll keep their numbers up and so forth. My question is that short-sighted on their part? Because, I mean, I think I just did a poll, Tony. I mean, do you want higher cable bills? And I didn't see anybody put their hands up.
No, you know, ESPN has a few problems. One, they already are the most expensive to carry by a country mile. In most cases, they're 7, 8, 9 times the price of most of the other offerings that are on your cable package. If you actually have the opportunity to sit down and look at what you're paying for Bravo versus what you're paying for ESPN, it's $7 versus 64 cents.
Right.
So they're already at that point where they're incredibly expensive, and they're, you know, maybe trying to go the HBO Go direction. But the reality here is it's short-sighted, because the people who are running it and affected by it won't be here when it's time to pay that piper. Right? It's the same problem we're seeing on the sports side. You know, I'm responsible for my job for the next, at most, 5 to 10 years as an executive at Disney, and I'd be keep that stock price high so I can ride off into sunset, and it's the next guy's problem.
Right.
And what they're looking at is, well, here's a way for me to do that, right? If I do this, I'm going to lose X amount of subs, but I'm going to make up for it by raising the price. But look, we've all been there, right? We've all been to a situation where you enjoy a restaurant, and it's not that crowded, and then you start to notice the prices go up, and you know we better come here more because it's closing very soon.
Right.
That's what's going to happen here over the next 10 years, just because it's been a situation where they've been able to hold cable companies ransom by saying, look, we're going to walk away, which means you're going to have a ton more cord cutting because we have some of the most loyal viewers there are, and we have one of the few offerings that's truly consumed live. But eventually you're going to hit that point of no return. It's going to be diminishing returns, and we're already there. So
yeah. It's
disappointing that this is where they're going, as opposed to trying to find more creative ways to get people to pay attention. But I don't think they know what to do, Steve. It's the innovator's dilemma, and I don't think they've answered it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tony. I think the last 3 years, for people who are deeply embedded in media and have been their entire careers, I think this blindsided them, and not one of them knows how to get out of it. I think they're throwing darts, hoping one of them will hit the board and it will get them out of it. But I mean, I think they're really struggling to come up with ideas.
It's just the natural process and evolution of how business works, right? I mean, for everybody who thinks ESPN's been around forever, they should go look at the story of how ESPN started. Oh. It's a guy who wanted to cover local Connecticut high school sports, and he went to the satellite provider to try to buy time to cover a few games, and the satellite didn't have anybody buying any time. So they said, look, instead of buying two-hour blocks, why don't you buy the whole 24 hours, and we'll sell it to you cheaper.
Right.
And so he said, okay, and he filled it up with a bunch of crap. And hence ESPN was born. And so they're not this, they've grown into a monolith that Disney makes a ton of money on. But the reality is, what they did was expose a new technology before anybody else knew it was there.
Right.
The ability to carry satellite coverage in sports for 24 hours. Well, that has... you know, that idea has run its course, and now there's new ones coming out that are worth giving us our attention. It's like any other innovation dilemma. And I don't think ESPN has an answer right now. And so what happens when ESPN starts to hurt and doesn't want to pay the money to the NFL and doesn't want to pay the money to the NBA and doesn't want to, you know, bid on that anymore? It's not much different than what we're seeing with the Olympics, right? Right. Eventually, people look at it and say, hey, look, it's not only that you're charging too much, but I can't make money on this anymore. I got to find something else.
Yeah, it was Bill Rasmussen, and he did something really clever early. I'll just quickly tell the story, and I'll move on to something else. He had been a Hartford-Springfield sportscaster. In fact, he is the play-by-play guy at one point for the then New England Whalers in the WHA. So he does exactly what Tony says. Well, now he needed to do something, so he went to Getty Oil, and he told them, I've got all these cable companies.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And Getty went, really? And then he went to all the cable companies, and he said, hey, I've got Getty Oil. Well, he didn't have either one.
Nope.
And he convinced both of them at the same time that they had each other. And that's how it happened. He went to Getty, and he said, I've got all these cable subscribers. Really? He went to all the cable companies and said, I've got Getty Oil. And they're like, well, both sides went, wow.
it was so set up in the house of cards, which is fascinating. He sold out of it too early. He could have made more money.
Oh.
But, you know, when you look at how that played out, that's generally where new trends come from. And right now, ESPN's in a situation where, you know, you have this legacy revenue that you have to own up to, right? You have shareholders who have bought into it. Like, we have to continue to make money the way we've made it, even though we know that 10 years from now, we can't make money like this anymore. And they're trying to find the way to do it, and they haven't. And it'll be very fascinating to see what happens.
And for those who don't know, Scott Rasmussen of the Rasmussen Poll, Bill Rasmussen was his father. So just a reference point. Tony, as a CEO, I mean, you have to make a lot of decisions, a lot of decisions. How often do you have to catch yourself as a CEO and say, okay, that's short-term gain but not long-term right for my company? How often do you have to catch yourself on that, where you're not managing by a little bit of, at the moment, desperation?
It's constant. And it's constant and it's near impossible to stay away from, just given the fact that people just do what they're incentivized to do, right? I mean, the reality is so many decisions that you make in a day-to-day basis, you can see that, okay, this decision will be beneficial for our company for the next 3 years, but 6 years from now, it's not where it's going to be. But if we want to go where we need to go 6 years from now, we've got to give up some money now.
Right.
And there's a lot of great examples of that. You know, Ben Horowitz made his money doing that, and, you know, Bezos has done it a few times.
Right.
But the reality is, it's very difficult to sit down and say, look, we have to give up what's going to happen in the next 3 to 4 years to move on to what's better in the long term. And in sports in particular, when you're talking about sports teams, when you're talking about media executives, that sort of thing, you know, by the time you get to a position where they're making those decisions, most of them are only in that position for 7 to 10 years. You know, we read about the ones who do it for 20 and 25, the Ebersols, and but I mean, for every Dick Ebersol, I mean, he's one in a billion, right? Everybody
right.
else is really just looking to say, look, if I can keep this ship somewhat, you know, afloat for the next 5 to 7 years and collect my 401k and walk off and buy a house in the Hamptons, I'm done, right? And that's what you see too much of. So we see that all the time, and that's the problem you run into with the teams right now. And that's why everybody says, like, why is the MLS going up? Why are they going from 20,000-seat arenas to 30,000-seat arenas? You know, right. They were once at 70. But why are they going from 20 to 30 while everybody else is going down? Well, they're just at a different spot in their business's evolution, right? They're coming up. They don't have that revenue that they've had for 30 years that they have to keep up with. And they have a little bit more leniency, which is where we are right now. Right? We don't have to make that many decisions that are, you know, short-term versus long-term with a massive effect right now, but we do it on a day-to-day basis.
All right, Tony Knopp. And Tony, I want to hold you over until the next half hour. We're not quite done yet, so we appreciate it. We're going to do that. We did this one other time with you as well. We held you into the next half hour because my laundry list isn't done here yet. All right, we'll take a break. We'll close out this half hour, bring Tony back as part of the final half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who has the number one brand?
2 years in a row?
It's Sunbury Motors Kia.
I want to see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the highest ranked large car, compact car, small SUV, midsize SUV, and compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality according to J.D. Powers. See for yourself at SMC. The 2017 Kia Soul starting at $16,998. 2017 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,999. 2017 Fortes as low as $15,997. Or Kia's new 50 mpg CUV, the 2017 Niro starting at $22,879. With 60 new Kias to choose from.
All clearly sale price.
And backed by Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, there's a lot to celebrate. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotorskia.com.
Tax tags extra. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com. For J.D. Power 2017 U.S. initial quality study, visit jdpower.com/cars.
All right, Tony Knopp's going to rejoin us in the final half hour of the show. We'll close that out. Bob Nightingale of USA Today on tomorrow. We'll talk about baseball and get his great insight into that. Looking forward to having Bob on tomorrow. Kevo is on tomorrow as well. Nothing like that half hour. One of the more interesting half hours in radio. I don't know what he's going to say. John's like,
yeah, he's out of houses to clean up. So I know what he's done the past 7 days.
Oh, yeah. I get blamed for everything. Like, oh, what do you want me to do? Drive back every night?
I noticed that.
it's 6 hours up, 6 hours back. I just don't see how I can help out here. Yeah, it's not as if. It's not as if I haven't worked. What have I worked now? 25 of the last 26 days? Something like that.
Yeah, you're due for a week off. Take next week. take next week off.
Well, then we get an extra day after that. We don't have a show on the 31st.
That is correct. And a week from Monday, yes, there is a Phillies day game that day. But yeah, we're going to replay some of the best interviews we've had over the past year or so. We're going to replay Mike the Mailman.
Look, Lawrence does not believe there is a best of on this show.
I know.
All right?
I know.
at all.
They think this is the time of day where you don't hear replays or best ofs or.
I mean, you might have a point.
But we're going to bring up a couple of interviews we had back in September, you know, to mark the 50th anniversary of Joe's first game as head coach at Penn State. We're going to replay the Steve Smear interview and Mike Reed next week. Peter King, Rick Neuheisel, Ed Henry. The Adam Haseley interview from a few weeks ago, we'll play that back over. And also Timmy Kirkshin and John Bacon, to name a few. So,
wow.
Yep. Well, of course, I'll be here in case there's any breaking sports news.
Maybe I'll listen online. See how it went.
Well, like we talked about yesterday, you only have a certain amount of apps on your phone, and I know for sure one of them is the Sunbury Broadcasting WKOK app. So,
as they say in Marseille, oui, oui. Oh, my goodness.
So we'll guide everyone through that next week while you're kicking back and relaxing, which is well-deserved. So.
The Sunbury Broadcasting app, naturellement.
And people think, is Steve going to France?
Did I ever tell you the story about Spanish? I went up to one of the Spikes players last year. And I said, I just walked by, I go, hola, Ricardo. And he goes, oh, hola, Esteban. And then all of a sudden he blurts out like five sentences in Spanish. And, of course, I stand there with that dopey look on my face. I said, and in English, I said, Ricardo, I pretty much had like hit my limit as to how much I knew. He still laughs about it.
Bueno.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Where the soup, by the way, could be king. I said could be. All right. Have you seen the comments Michael Vick made about Colin Kaepernick on our sports bozo of the day?
I got a little chuckle out of it.
Michael Vick apologized for saying earlier this week that free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick should cut his hair to help change his image. Appearing on the Dan Patrick Show, heard on News Radio 1070 WKOK earlier today, the retired NFL quarterback said he was truly sorry for making the comments on Tuesday on Kaepernick's hair during an appearance on FS1's Speak for Yourself. Vick's comments quickly went viral and have been criticized widely by the media. At the end of the day, what I said, I should have never said. I think it was taken out of context in regards to what I was trying to convey, but I only want to help Colin Kaepernick. He says, I'm not a general manager. I'm not the guy who makes the decisions on getting him signed, and I'm truly sorry for what I said. I think I should have used a better choice of words. Obviously, his afro has nothing to do with him being signed, and I wasn't trying to relay that message. So, Kaepernick's only apparent response to Vick's comments was to tweet out a definition of the Stockholm Syndrome. So there you go. Laid out there and all to hear. All right, we're not quite done with Tony Knapp yet. The CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Tony, thanks for coming back with us on here in the final half hour. That's what I wanted to get this part started with. The Big Ten officially starts its new contract with Fox this year, along with ESPN, CBS, and, of course, they have Big Ten Network locked up until 2032. So in one of the last answers you gave in the previous half hour, you mentioned Jeff Bezos, which, of course, is Amazon. And you and I know what Amazon's been doing. And Amazon's getting into TV now. And Amazon's carrying a football series now. The Big Ten was the last to negotiate this time in college. They'll be the first to negotiate next time, and they'll do it right after the NFL and Major League Baseball. Do you see a role for Amazon, Yahoo, Facebook, something in the carriage of either college sports or pro sports in the next cycle?
It's going to come down to the four major carriers of content in the end, right? Facebook, Amazon, Google, and Apple. And somebody's going to buy Netflix. And,
right,
you know, Verizon already gobbled up Yahoo. So it's going to be a question of those major players within the next 10 years as to who's going to have carriage rights for what. We're eventually going to work our way that way through partnerships, through strategic. I mean, there's been a discussion, you know, in the Silicon Valley about, you know, which one's going to end up being the winner. I don't think that's possible to debifurcate everybody.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, whoever Amazon walks into, they can have a significant effect on. For example, Amazon is getting in the ticketing world in the United States. They've hired a team, and this team has been at work for the last 6 months. They've been doing it in Britain for the last 2 years. And they can walk into anybody. They can walk into Ticketmaster, StubHub, whoever they want, and say, hey, listen, you guys can have all the power you want. We have 300 million viewers coming in that want to buy tickets through our site. Right? They bring so much weight with them. For those who didn't see, yesterday Amazon announced that they were going to start delivering food.
Yes.
Right? Pre-packaged meals. And Blue Apron, a public company who's been one of the best at this, had a significant drop in their stock price because Jeff Bezos said 8 words. About it.
Right.
He's going to have the same effect when it comes to carriage rights, and he's only getting more powerful over the next 3 to 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, Blue Apron stock went through the floor, yes. You know, I mean, it's been going down because of people have been anticipating this, because after what, yeah. Amazon bought Whole Foods, and
yep.
then now they go
eight
through.
Words.
Right, and 8 words, he took a stock, and he's up over 1,000 a share right now.
He wiped out $1 billion in value with 8 words.
It's amazing. Yeah, that's why
he can do that on this side too. I mean, the reality is, people look at the sports franchises, teams, leagues, and they say, you know, well, they're too powerful. But you and I know they're not, right? These are big numbers that we're talking about with the NFL, but that's a rounding error at Amazon, right? It's one of those situations where we've seen that proliferation of business executives coming into sports over the last 15 to 20 years. It's changed everything, right? It's when you have people come and watch Theo Epstein speak from the Cubs at a hedge fund conference.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And he's the one that everybody wants to go see. It's right. Because that's how they're approaching these businesses now.
It's amazing. Los Angeles will probably get 28, correct? I mean, I think it's going to be Paris 24,
yeah.
LA 28.
Yeah, that's where it's headed. And then Germany is trying to do 32, but they're trying to do it across 13 cities. So that'll be interesting. And then, you know, the FIFA World Cup, they're doing a whole North America bid. You know, the reality is Los Angeles probably is a better fit for 2024, but we all know the reasons why it's not going to be 2024.
Right. We know that. But here's the issue I have. You know, living in California with the regulations and so forth, how difficult is it going to be for them to project cost of any facility they would like to build 11 years out? I mean, because the host city in the contract has to pick up the difference in cost overruns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how difficult is this?
First of all, California's broke, and so is Los Angeles. So cost overrides would be a problem. And, you know, we have the highest tax rate in the union. For those who don't know, the sales tax rate in California is 13.3%.
Right.
Right. It's very high. And even with that, the state is broke. The problem they have is the bid was really predicated on, we have a bunch of new venues, and they're ready to go, right? The football venue will be built in 2019, 2020, and it'll be ready for 2024. It'll be relatively new when that happens. But now we're talking 2028. That's not very new. You know, the Coliseum and the renovations start next year.
Right.
Well, that's not going to be very new in 10 years.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, their argument of we're a plug-and-play city, we're a plug-and-play games, you know, we've got all these different venues that are here, is a little bit weaker for 2028. And I know why they're doing it, right? Because there's nobody else bidding, and the IOC needs to protect themselves. And they're tone deaf, and they've been tone deaf for a very long time.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't make sense. You have one city who, and look, I'll go to either one of them, so it doesn't bother me. But you have one city who needs to do billions of dollars in infrastructure, and one that doesn't. And you gave 2024. You're going to give 2024 to the one that has to do the building.
Right. Exactly. They need Olympic Village and everything else that goes with it. I mean, they need infrastructure, and they're not going to have a lot of time to do it. Is the World Cup, in your opinion, because of the multiple city approach, a more valuable entity these days?
Yes, I think so, absolutely. The sport's growing stronger. It's a more valuable entity because it has more of an economic effect on the multiple cities. I'm curious to see how this is going to work with Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., just because the difference in quality of venue between Canada and the United States versus Mexico is so significant. You know, the Estadio Azteca is, you know, it's a historic place, and it's where they're going to argue to have the final, and that's great, but I don't know if you've been there, it's a dump, right? It's not a nice stadium. And, you know, they're going to talk about rebuilding the infrastructure at that point, but you and I both know that, you know, with the corruption that happens there, how are these three countries going to work together,
right?
It just doesn't make, I mean, yeah, there's some corruption in the United States, but Canada doesn't do that. And it'll be really fascinating to see how they did, especially considering, you know, we're going to Moscow. I mean, you talk about the wrong time to have a World Cup in Moscow.
Yes.
Well, we're going.
Yeah, we're going.
Yeah,
here we come.
I mean, they're going to pull it off. I mean, they pulled off Sochi, for God's sake, so they'll pull this off.
Oh.
It's just a matter of, you know, the corruption is just outrageous.
He spent
Moscow and then Qatar. I mean,
yeah. He spent $51 million, Putin, the economic genius, spent $51 million on Sochi because he was gambling that oil would stay at a 105. It's at 46 right now.
Yeah.
Okay, good move.
It's a house of cards, and the city's totally falling apart.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Sochi looks a lot like Rio does at this point. The IOC's tone buff. They don't know any better. We'll see. I mean, who knows? Maybe Los Angeles gets awarded it, and something happens in the next 11 years. But, look, I mean, you have sponsors leaving left and right. You know, McDonald's is now rumored that they're leaving.
Wow.
And they've been with the Olympics forever. And if McDonald's walks away from the Olympics, now you've had, and they're saying, well, we replaced them with Intel. But anybody who knows how those deals work knows that that's a scratch my back, I scratch your deal, right? I'm sure the IOC is doing a significant amount of business with Intel in order to get that deal. And, you know, they're losing major partners. It's, you know, like we said with the ESPN, we're seeing the change. We're seeing the evolution of the sports business.
Right.
And the Olympics is really having trouble keeping up. You know, the NHL has bailed on them. Yeah. The Premier League's not going to make changes. You know, the leagues are coming back and saying, look, we're not going to make changes to what we're doing for your games. Like, they thought it would be a neat idea to put baseball in the Olympics, and Major League Baseball came back and said, we already have our own series. We don't need yours.
Right.
And so
right?
And the WBC happens, we're not changing for you.
And the NHL's not going to go to Seoul, South Korea, or whatever in South Korea. They're not going to go. I don't blame them. I don't want to ship it over there and stop my season. And the
Would you ever play your player over there? I mean, if you're paying Paul George $30 million a year, would you want him to break his leg?
No.
No. It's asinine.
No, absolutely not. And one note on Canada with the World Cup, whatever they do with the World Cup in Canada, they're going to have to, through trays or whatever, they're going to have to put grass. There is not a grass field in Canada, and the World Cup must be played on grass. So it's an added expense that's got to be figured in.
Yeah, and we're going to be dealing with three different currencies in three different ways of running a government, right? I mean, Mexico, Canada, and the United States are very different. You know, you assume Trudeau will be there for the majority of the buildup, and who knows what's going to be in the United States. And, you know, Mexico, again, even no matter who's in power there, we kind of know which way that government's going to go. I cannot imagine how this is going to work well. I just can't.
One final question, then I'll let you go. Appreciate the time. I mean, this goes quickly for me. And that deals with the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, Las Vegas, as you and I both know, is in a lot of ways a gigantic suburb of Los Angeles. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that fair assumption?
Absolutely.
How concerned are the Chargers and the Rams that eventually the Raiders are going to be in their backyard?
Here's the problem. The state's already talking about, this is news that probably doesn't get talked about outside of this area, but the state's already been talking about bullet trains going from San Bernardino out to Las Vegas, which enable us to get from LA to Vegas in an hour and 15 minutes. Right? I mean, it takes me an hour and 15 minutes to get to Carson, right? Where they're going to play the Rams.
That I believe. Yes.
Right? And which one would you rather go to, Carson or Vegas? For those who haven't been to Carson, it is nothing but industrial warehouses.
That's all it is, and I've been to Carson several times.
Exactly. Chase Utley's from there. That's about all they got going for him.
Right. Chase Utley and the Galaxy. That's what they got. And they're going to have the Chargers for 3 years.
And they're going to have the Chargers for 3 years, where they're going to have to try to draw free agents to play in front of 30,000 people, which I don't see happening. I think it's a major problem for them, but I think it's happening one way or the other, right? Vegas is just becoming this booming, you know, spread out city that is so easily attainable and so easy to get to for everybody that, you know, given the way sports works now, I can't imagine it not being a huge hit and a huge success for them.
I mean, no offense, I've been to both Vegas and to Carson multiple times.
Yeah.
Just really aren't in the same conversation normally, unless you're doing compare and contrast.
No, I mean, it's, you know, you go to T-Mobile Arena, which is beautiful, and it's there next to the Monte Carlo and the New York, and you got a million things to do, and you go down to StubHub Center, and there's a Popeye's chicken and a, you know.
And an In-N-Out burger.
Yeah, an In-N-Out burger, and I think they've got a BJ's down there, and they've got like a strip mall that has a Popeye's and In-N-Out and BJ's and a couple other things.
I know. I was forced to go there one day. Oh, you'll love this.
Oh, yeah.
What are we doing here?
You know all about it.
Meanwhile, I go over to Las Vegas, and I said, now, why don't we go to Paris? Why don't we go to Bellagio?
Yeah.
Let's go to In-N-Out Burger.
And now we went from, you know, basically one team in San Diego, which is not that easy to get to. It's Paris. It's not that easy to get to.
Right.
To three teams in Los Angeles and Las Vegas. It is going to be oversaturation quickly.
Always a pleasure. It goes quickly for me. I appreciate all the valuable time, Tony, as always. I hope my best to you and your family.
Yeah, you guys as well. Look forward to chatting again soon.
Tony Knopf, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. For me, at least on my end, the time goes very quickly in talking with him. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us as we roll on today. And that's what we're best at, is rolling on. So it's great to have you on board. Our thanks to Kurt Badenhausen of Forbes and Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. We went very heavy on business today, but to be honest with you, that is where you need to go these days. I mean, you need to. I mean, when we're talking about these items, in the end, this affects you. That's why we talk about it, because it affects you, the listener, you, the viewer. You know, down the road, how much of your sports are you going to find on Amazon? How much of your sports are you going to find on Facebook or Yahoo? How much of your sports are you going to find on the device? How much of your sports are you going to find now on over the air? How much of your sports are you going to find on cable? So we talk about that. What are the trends? Why is it that the Olympics are struggling right now to get a toehold? Why is it now that the NBA is looking around saying, should we keep doing this? Why is it that the NHL is looking around saying, we're not going to go to South Korea? Why is it that, you know, soccer is taking a long, hard look at it? What about the World Cup? Why is the World Cup going to Russia? Why? Why is it going to Qatar? These are all things that affect you, the viewer, the listener. And that's why we talk about these items. You know, why is ESPN struggling? Why, you know, why are people cutting cords? What are the trends that Tony, for example, sees? Why is it the New York Knicks are more valuable than the Cleveland Cavaliers? Something Kurt didn't mention in his part of the interview, and that's because I did not ask him, so that's the reason why, was that the Cavaliers, despite all the success they're having, do you realize they lost $40 million last year? They lost $40 million. Now, the new TV contract kicked into a different gear this year, so it's going to keep them from losing more money. And as you know, Alexander is going to sell the Houston Rockets. He bought the Rockets 24 years ago for $75 million. There is a good chance he is going to be able to sell the Rockets for about $2 billion. That's what we're talking about, big business of sports. And then when you hear a prophet like that as a fan, you do legitimately ask yourself, why am I paying that much to go see events when they're getting $2.4 billion from TV, when they're getting money from corporate sponsorship? You know, why am I paying so much for tickets? I mean, it's a legitimate question on your part when you sit there and you try to, you know, go through, you know, everything that is that's on the table. And you keep seeing more and more and more money getting paid by media entities. And so how do the leagues keep the media entity money rolling if they're losing subscribers? Well, who's making money? Amazon? Yahoo? Facebook? Twitter's not. Twitter's not making money. That's one of the great mysteries ever. Twitter doesn't make money. But Facebook, Yahoo, Amazon, they all make a ton of cash. That might be the next step to keep as many golden eggs from the golden geese as possible.
Yeah, if you were offered only just 1% of what Amazon took in last Tuesday for Prime Day, you'd be a happy person.
Right, exactly.
It's incredible.
As I mentioned a couple of times, the Amazon's, what, $1,000 a share now. Oil is 46, which brings us back to what Russia was trying to do. It's not the way it is anymore. And Amazon... Amazon's rolling on financially. They're into everything. I mean, they're into everything right now. I mean, they just bought Whole Foods. I mean, there are some people now that want to take a look at Amazon and asking the question, are they into too many things? Now, that's not for me to determine. I'm just a simple sportscaster in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Emphasis on simple. But that's why we talk about business. We talk about the business part and the dollars and cents amount, because in the end, it affects you. It also puts the suit in the fetal position in his office.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.